Okay, a lot to do here. Now, I know that this is a little blocking. This will change soon, so we'll do those little side things like we did last night for just a little while. Yes, the legs are shaking. They started shaking just as soon as I realized they were, well, when it was 20 minutes ago, they started shaking. So, gotta pray. Okay, gotta pray. Dear Heavenly Father, same prayer as last night. You haven't forgotten it. So I won't repray all those words. It was just about you being the only thing here with us. Lord, may your spirit fall over us like a mist and just your word be spoken. I rebuke the enemy at every turn by the power of the empty tomb, preceded by the power of you giving your entire life on that cross for us and that perfect full victory that has been won. Lord, sovereignty. Oh, if folks don't know the message of sovereignty, it changes everything. Oh, Jesus, thank you. So be with us now. Calm every heart. A little bit greedy here, especially calm mine. I can even hear my voice shaking. So, Lord, I need you. I'm so excited about this message. And if it's the last time I ever speak, wow, what a privilege. So, Lord, would you help me stick to the business here, your business. Help me to end on time. And just to bring it big time, your message. Father, thank you in your holy name. Amen. Okay, thank you. That's my calm down stuff. All right. So anyway, I said welcome back a while ago. And I'm really, really hoping that last night coming to the cross was a bit of a welcome back for some of you. Maybe welcome back to me. I've not gone anywhere. I love you. I've always loved you. I love you beyond your imagination. Come on back over here. Get back connected to me. Sorry, we're a little blocked, aren't we? He just loves you so much. He adores you. He even sings over you. Do you know the scripture where he sings over you? He delights in you. He calls you beloved. So welcome back to Jesus, or welcome to more than you've ever allowed in before. There's a quote by Charles Spurgeon. We put one up there last night, but oh, hey, it's bigger. I like it. Thank you, Matthew. I like that. Now we're talking. And if you were here and took home the envelope, I sure hope I did that right and put one of those in everybody's envelope. Did you get one? Okay. I named that It Is Finished. How original. But that's what I named that. Also, I thought maybe of changing the name to Non-Negotiable, because that is non-negotiable right there. And it means everything. All right. So here's the deal. Charles Spurgeon. He said that quote that I put up there last night, and of course, you know I wouldn't get it straight right now because I don't have it written down in front of me. So here's another one. All of God's holy attributes are fully employed on your behalf 24/7. It's not like he's kind of close and now he's not close. Listen, if there's any moving going on, I told you last night, it's you doing the moving. He's there fully employed on your behalf 24/7. All of his attributes. Now you might go, you know, I don't know that I really know all of God's attributes. None of us know all of God's attributes. But I'll tell you a great way to buff up on some of those. There's a book by one of those old dead guys, name which I love, by the way. Well, Charles Spurgeon's one of those. This guy's name was Arthur Pink, P-I-N-K, a great ladies' conference name. Attributes of God is the name of the book. Real little thing. Listen, go after that. I have, you know, shame on me. I have 20 copies at home. I just can't get enough. No, I like to give those out to some of my counseling clients. Should have brought them. I apologize, because I would have been delighted to just hand out at least 20 copies of that today. Arthur Pink, The Attributes of God. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, well, here we're talking today. You know, we talked about the vertical of the cross, your identity in Christ, and how you really, really, really need to come to Jesus and just lay it on him and let him tell you his truth, his love over you, so that when the world spits on you and tells you they don't love you like he does, you'll be strong enough to handle it, be able to handle this horizontal. That's what today is about. You'll hear me talk more on the vertical because I can't get away from the vertical. I can't separate them. And that cross is not in two pieces either. It's all woven together. And I have noticed I told you I was at level 64, soon approaching level 65, which sounds, like I said, so much better than that other thing. It doesn't matter. It's a gift. It's a gift. And however long he leaves me here was just the right amount of time. But here's the deal. I have found that the more time you spend with somebody, whoever it is, good influence, not so good, not such good influence, you become more like them. You pick up some of their mannerisms. You pick up some of the ways they talk, the ways they think. Well, so-and-so said, and it just starts to become a part of you. Was that air? That's nice stuff. Okay. So, and if my sweater was cooler, I'd take my jacket off, but it's not cool, so I'm not taking my jacket off. Here's the deal. If the more time you spend with Jesus, guess what happens? You think more like him. You store him up. You just become more like him. It's sort of like, duh. But you really, really do. Therefore, the question begs the question, are you spending time with Jesus? Don't just expect it to just happen. You put things into relationships. It takes some effort. Now, he's going to love you no matter what. And this isn't one of those do. You need to do this and do that and do this. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's just a natural hunger to hang out with the coolest guy ever. Your best friend. There's not a person in this room that hadn't been betrayed in one way or another. And maybe it's your hips that are betraying you. I don't know, but you're being betrayed by something or have been betrayed by somebody. Anson, smile. Anson, don't smile at those girl jokes. I saw that. So, yeah, we've all been betrayed by something. And some of us in big, like almost life-crushing ways. You know what? When you got this going right here, the vertical, it almost doesn't matter what comes this way. It will not kill you. A lot of your attitude has a lot to do with it. But if I know who I am in Jesus Christ and this junk comes along, I've got Jesus, a best friend, my Father, my Savior, my best friend, mighty counselor, great physician. I have everything. So the more time you spend with him, the more like him you will become. And you will realize your identity is in Christ and not in the stuff that is going on and happening to you. That's not your identity. That's the stuff happening to you. Okay. And I mentioned last night that we are living between the already, that cross right there, Jesus' first coming, and the not yet. That's coming too, the second coming. But it doesn't have to be as hard as we allow it to be in the in-between. We are living in the in-between. One of the ways that I personally enjoy staying close to Jesus is journaling. And I haven't been completely consistent. I have some journals from 20 years ago. Then I hit a non-journaling spell. But then I got real active in it again about 10 years ago. I mean active, but I realized they're more like diaries. I have pictures of as the grandchildren came along, the cutest little, you know, got those shots in there. When I do another painting that I like, I put those in my, you know, that are meaningful. Now you wouldn't put some of my junk in anything, but the garbage can. But every once in a while, one will pop out that turned out. So my journal is just full of ups and downs and sideways. They really are like diaries. Here's an example, and I got to try to see if I can spiritualize this somehow because it won't sound spiritual, but we'll see if we can figure it out. Here's something I found in a diary from 20 years ago. And now my point, please don't miss my point in my silliness. It's a great way to stay close to Jesus. Talk to him. Write to him. And then keep writing as he goes, well, now what you said up there about your day is ruined, because your day's not ruined, you've got me. Write his truths in your journal, if you like to journal. You don't have to journal, but I just recommend it. It's just a good personal way to stay close with the Lord and to cathart, to let your junk out, you know, tell your secrets in there. Now, you need to designate a journal burner for when you die. No, my kids are going to find mine, and too bad. And I wrote in mine several places. If you're reading this, you nosy person. But it's reality. Hey, and I want my kids to know you can survive this deal. They already know this. One of my precious kids is here today, front row. And thank you for coming, sweetie. And a daughter-in-law was here last night. I had family. It's my first time to ever have family at a conference. It was so exciting. Now I wonder what she thinks of me now, but that, well, you know. Anyway, here's something I found in my diary from 20 years ago. It had a caption. I don't usually caption things. It's just like the Bible. It had a caption over this section, and it said, how to get a possum out of your garage. This is deep stuff right here. But what I'd written underneath it was, I wonder if this will work on Satan. Well, here's what happened. Here's the quick, the possum story. And I had written it in the diary so I wouldn't forget, but I don't think I'm going to forget this. A possum got in our garage, and he or she hung out. I didn't check. I don't know. I wouldn't know what to check. I don't think. But it sat in my garage for 3 days and three nights. You know, I'm used to some really cool things happening on the third day. Nothing good happened with this possum on the third day. He was still there. I didn't appreciate it. See, this is a third day illustration right here. That's how it's supposed to be. No, that possum stayed in my garage 3 days and three nights, and I did everything I needed to do. Shoo, that didn't work. Leave. You know, I don't know what language possums speak, but apparently not Tennessee language. And now some Georgia. I guess I've become integrated. So then I threw socks at it because I didn't want to hurt him. And then I realized those were some of my favorite socks, and I can't go back over there and get them because they're near the possum. I mean, that wasn't very smart, but I really did throw socks at the possum, and it just blinked and didn't matter. So I'm sitting eating dinner one night, one of our favorite meals, meatloaf, black-eyed peas, and mashed potatoes. I just love that combination. And I'm sitting there on my dinner, and it dawned on me, food, food. Wouldn't you be hungry sitting still and doing nothing for 3 days? Ha-ha. So I scraped my food off on a paper plate. What a sacrifice I made. And I scraped, and I went out in the garage and opened that garage door, and I went, I am about to outsmart you. And I pushed the button for the garage door opener. The garage door goes up, and I went, phew! And I threw my food out on the driveway like most people do, right? And before that plate finished going splat, that possum was out of there. There's your secret. If y'all learned anything else at this conference, you now know how to get rid of a possum in your garage. And no, that does not work on Satan. It doesn't matter how many plates of food you throw, I don't think that's going to cut it. This is what works on Satan, right here. Now, the point being, that's how you can journal. And I actually did go on to spiritualize that about that third day. And I just made that silly segue, but it just happened, and I started writing about what really did happen on my favorite third day. So that's what's in that journal. And I'm going to come to another journal entry later, which I assure you is a little step up above the possum entry. Here's the deal. Spending time with Jesus Christ, be it in journaling, reading the Word, worship, this beautiful music like this, something like this, and I really, you know, like sitting out there, and I've done that several times. It's just a way to stay vertical. But my favorite is first thing in the morning. This is what a lady that was at a much higher level than I'm at said to me one time, because I was going, I spend time with Jesus, and then I don't spend time with Jesus. And I spend time with, like, that amnesia problem. I just couldn't get it rolling smooth. See, and I had it in my head, if you really love Jesus, you get up early every day, and you're on your knees for 3 or 4 hours. Well, maybe so, but that wasn't happening, and I didn't see that happening. But I just wanted to have this regular quiet time with the Lord and just tank up before I go out there amongst the ugly every day. She said to me, well, maybe this will help. Pretend that Jesus is sitting downstairs on the couch looking at his watch going, when's she coming? When's she coming? I love her so much. I can't wait to see her. And you upstairs in the bed, imagine Jesus is downstairs waiting for you. And just, I'm coming, Jesus. I mean, good night. If Jesus was sitting downstairs or somewhere in your house, wouldn't you go, wouldn't you? And you don't have to fix your hair. You don't have to do anything. You come just like you are. Do you know that had an effect on me? That worked. I woke up, and I had been doing this one for years. My first thought, good morning, Jesus. This good morning, Jesus. What a great way to start the day. And then let's go talk to him. Let's go spend time with him. And you would, reading some of my journals, you would think that he and I were right there side by side having a conversation. Let me tell you what, it's even better than side by side. He lives inside me. That's even closer than side by side. So the vertical business is very, very important. And oh my goodness, now, what a horizontal mess we live in. What a mess. It doesn't have to be as hard as it is, though. It just doesn't have to be as hard as we allow it to be. You know, we let stuff have power over us. We give it power. You don't have to. We have all the power. But why do we like split the power of Jesus and split the power of the problem? No, let's just go with Jesus. What's that saying I heard one time? See, some things I don't put in my notes and they come to my mind. Instead of telling Jesus how big your storm is, you tell your storm how big Jesus is. I like that. That is like you get things in order that way. But we do have this horizontal mess. And I want to give you a symbolic view this morning of the amazing joy available to everybody. Remember last night you participated in the symbolism of hanging something personal on the cross, and it looked like everybody participated. I know that there's a few here this morning that weren't here last night, so my daughter wasn't, so I was able to, I filled her in on what happened so she'll understand what we're about to do next, but you will understand this. We had a symbolic view of just giving up something. Stop trying. Let him have it. Lord, bring me close to you. Something. Let me tell you what happened to your cards. Me and another lady, when we got this place cleared out, took them off as fast as we can. I guarantee you there was nothing being read because there was a lot of cards on there. Threw them all in a basket. I went home. My husband was ready with the lighter. Put them in the fireplace. They're gone. They're all gone. Not read. I won't lie to you. I saw one because, you know, I saw one. I told you I weren't going to read any of them. I read one. But, you know, I can't help it if I can read fast. Oh. It was beautiful. I'm not going to tell you what it said because I don't know. I promised you I wouldn't read them, and you'll know I read yours if I tell you. But it could not have been a better card. It could not have been. It was all about Jesus, I'll tell you that. It was amazing. And I thought, of all the cards I could see, wow. And in fact, it made me know that this entire conference was worth it, from what I read on that one card. So y'all can just rejoice for somebody in this room, and maybe it's you. Well, let's rejoice some more. Let's absolutely get down to the business of the cross. I'm not sure which way to do this, so I'm going to do it this way, and if it doesn't work, well, it won't work. I'm going to try this. This is a symbolism. Oh. It didn't come. Yes, thank you so much. Do you see what has happened to your cards? And I need some card collectors to come, and let's just take these things off, and I want these distributed to you. It's like you're getting your card back. And I want you to read what's on it. This is my favorite part. I want you to read what's on it. Oh, thank you. Look at all this. You know what I called? I said, I need some strippers to come up here. I thought, no, not strippers. I did. I said that to Heather back there. Heather, she said, when do the people come and take the cards off? Or who do you know? I said, I'd see some strippers. I thought, no, wait. But you know what? Strippers can come to the cross too. So see, we can just spiritualize these things. All right. So here's what. They're going to, I can't help it. Yeah, they're going to pass out these cards to you. I love the sound of that. Listen. That's just cool. It sounds like rain. I don't know if y'all can hear it out there. They're flipping these cards off, but I can't wait for you to see what's on them compared to what you put on them. Okay? We'll talk about that when I know you have some in your hand. So I'm just going to keep yakking. But this is a symbol of your sins being forgiven, a symbol of you being washed clean, your sins no longer being there, because they're not. And I don't know if y'all buy that business of Jesus forgetting, but does Jesus lie? No. So did Jesus forget? Really? Yeah, apparently. He said, as far as the east is from the west, it is gone. Thank you. The cross is clean. Thank you, thank you. Now, as you get your cards, please notice, the point of this is to let him weave his, it is finished, into you. Let him weave. Are those been passed out? The card? Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the cards are to be distributed. Yeah, are you hugging the cards back? Are you holding all those cards?
No. Uh-huh.
Okay. You don't get to hold other people's forgiveness. Yours is just yours. Okay, no. I never thought about that before. Huh. Anyway, yeah, this was a demonstration of, and you'll see what your card says. What does your card say? Her card says nothing. What does your card say? Do y'all have cards? Oh, they're coming. Well, what does your card say? Golly, these cards say nothing. Why would that be? Because there's nothing to say. It's finished. It is clean. It is over. It is done. Your account is zero. It's erased and gone forever. Now, if y'all journal like I do, that little card will go in your journal. Don't write on it. Don't mess it up. Just put beside it, that is a list of all my sin. Cool, huh? That's neat. Now, let me tell you where this cross came from. I just love this part. I mean, I really love this part. Let me think. You know, I've known for months I was going to do this conference. And along the way, and I know it was called Woven, But I'd already decided to tell you my traffic citation story. I don't know, that's just one of the, like, how ugly I acted inside and how foolish and so forth. So that my talk is building. And along the way, just let's add this and let's add that. And how much time do I have, I would ask. And, oh, well, I can add this story. I can add that story. So this came, listen, I am loaded with ideas. I really am. That's not a brag. That's dangerous. And it is dangerous, and I've done some dangerous things for my big ideas. But I got this big idea that I should ask my husband to build us a wooden cross, and that I'd stick a bunch of hooks in it, and you'd come up here on Friday night and put your problems, your hurts, your sin, your pain, the junk of the world on it, and the next morning you'd walk in and see how Jesus had taken care of it. Well, ta-da, that's what we did. But let me tell you about this cross. So here's what's happening. Wow, what a great idea. Robbie Sherrill, that's the dumbest thing you've ever done. What a great idea. And it was this torment almost. But I couldn't get away from it. I mean, it's the cross, for crying out loud. How can that be a dumb idea? But yet, you know, we're always trying to impress people. So I just wasn't sure. And so one morning I thought, decide. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, is this me or you? Me or you? And I thought it through again, the vision of the dark cards. And let me tell you what happened last night watching 230 women line up to come to the cross. I never imagined the power that I saw last night. I mean, I could hardly contain myself back there. That was, and the music that y'all were playing. I don't know if y'all were feeling the Holy Spirit like I was back there, but my goodness, beautiful. Well, I thought I got to decide. So as I thought it through, this one lap, my heart just started pounding. And that's one of my signs. Yes, I'm going to do it. So Little Miss needs more confirmation. I called Heather. The Holy Spirit wasn't enough. I need to verify with a human. So I called Heather. I said, Heather, I got this idea for the women's conference. And I told her, I said, what do you think? And she was already going, I love it. I love it. Okay, now it's sure. Holy Spirit and Heather. So going to do it. And that was on, I think, a Saturday morning. I'm not completely sure, but on the Saturday morning. All right. So I say to my husband, it's a go. And I say, would you make up the lumber list or whatever you need and go to Home Depot and get the lumber? And right then, I ordered the hooks on Amazon and the cards. Got that all. No, I went to Home Depot a separate visit and got the hooks. And then I ordered the cards on Amazon. So that was done within an hour of the confirmation from the Holy Spirit, Heather, over there. And 3 hours after that phone call, I'm in my office working on this talk, and there's a window in my office that looks out over my backyard. I need a backyard picture, water. And we had a flood. I live on John's Creek. Well, not on it. You know, my yard runs up to it. And we have a little bitty houseboat on John's Creek. and it when it rains a lot, which it did, remember, right after Christmas, and it rained, and then it rained some more, and then it couldn't get over itself, and it rained some more. My backyard flooded. There she is. We have almost 2 acres, but that's what it looks like when it, and see, it's all muddy. It's just a mess. Well, then, next picture. Looks like I live on a houseboat. Yeah, see, if you do it that way, it looks like you're floating. We're not. But that's happened 7 or 8 times since we've lived there, but it goes away very quickly. So y'all don't worry about us flooding out. Anyway, so my husband, that had happened on December 28th, this business. 2 or 3 days later, my husband comes into my office that Saturday, 3 hours after I've talked to Heather. He's got his lumber list ready. He hasn't been to Home Depot yet. And he said, come here. Look out in the backyard. Look what's laying between those two trees. And I figured it'd be a dead deer. I don't need to go see a deer. Because he said laying. If he hadn't said laying, I would have. But he said, look what's laying between those two trees. So I got up and I went to that window and I went, and that's what I said. Well, and I could finally talk, and I said, God sent me a cross. Now, confirmation. Heather, you're out now, honey. You're out. You're out. What? And then we got our boots on. It's this gushy mess back there. And we got our boots. And that had been laying there for 2 or 3 days because the water recedes the same day it comes. So close up, we out there in our boots, and there, yep, that's the one. That's the one. Here it is. I mean, what can you say? I still choke up over it. I still choke up over this story, and maybe I'll frame in my house, get a picture frame that has four picture holes, and just put those four pictures, and let it speak for itself. I really think I should. All right, so here's the deal. I did have a little thought about that. Where'd that come from? I didn't figure it went slam to earth like that. I knew it had floated downstream because we get a lot of people's lawn furniture after the flood. We live downstream. We get some prizes. I never had a prize like that. I don't think we're going to top that, do you? But we get prizes that float downstream. I thought, now, somebody's lost their cross. I hate that. And is it okay if I... Probably not. I'm probably going to better start asking upstream, who lost their cross? Who lost their cross? I didn't have to go very far. Awesome Dave, who lives next door to us, is, and we have big, big yards, so it's a little, you know, it's up there a little bit. Awesome Dave is a master furniture builder. And my first thought was, Dave built that. But why is it in his backyard floating away? It was his. He was out of town. I got hold of him, asked him, did you lose your cross? And which is a very common thing to... And he says, well, I'm out of town. I don't know, but probably. And he said, I made it for the kids for Easter. It was in the backyard. You can have it. And I said, well, what can I pay you for it? He said, good grief, you don't pay for a cross. And not Dave. And we are good neighbors. And he said, what you going to do with it? And I told him, and he started to cry. He and his wife both started to cry. I mean, it's just sweet. But look what Jesus sent, I tell you. So thank you. That's the story of the cross. It's a, there. I just love, how could you not share that? All right, moving on to some horizontal work. We're going to do a little drawing here. Now, you'll notice there was a handout in your chair, and it has three drawings on it, none of which I'm about to draw because it's on your paper. But after I printed this little thing for you in my fancy, fancy artwork, I thought of another couple of drawings that I wanted to do for you this morning. So when you have Jesus Christ, when you have that vertical, and if you're a note taker, this is a real cool sentence. I read this somewhere, found it in my journal. When you have Jesus Christ, you have access to a love that is far beyond yourself. So this is not on your sheet. That's why I'm drawing this one. So here's, I just love these fat markers. I need to know where y'all get these. These are great. So, just give me a minute here. Sorry, the back is turned. You know, you have a fear when you're talking is that you're going to misspell a word. If I misspell this one, we're in big trouble. Okay, so there's that part. That's the favorite part of drawing. All right, we have love to an access. We have access to a love so far outside ourselves. Here's my little, well, isn't she a chubby little face thing? Anyway, here she is. I don't have to tell you that I can't draw. But there it is. There she is. Now, she has access to a love so far outside herself. I mean, she is just covered. Here's the deal. What about the gossipers that say things about her? What about the cheaters that she might have come across in her life? What about? I have these over here. Oh, yeah. What about the accusers? And Satan, his two big things, are accusation and condemnation. Of course, we're not asking her to love him, but, he works through a lot of people and throws a lot of junk on us. Okay. Sometimes these people get to us, lazy folks. Maybe that's just us being judgmental. And then they're all around are haters. Or the foolishness. I could go on and on. We could just go on and on doing it. But the point being, we have access to a love so far outside ourselves. Example. Years ago, I was betrayed in a big way. One of life's biggest ones, I guess. It caused a great change in my life. One of the people, was more than one person in this betrayal story, one of the people, 13 years later, called me and said to me that somebody was betraying them in the very same way they had betrayed me. And they called me. It's like, I'm the last person. What? And they were telling me how much it hurt and how sad they were, and they didn't know if they were going to get through it. Well, that person I'm talking to had done the very same thing to me. and never apologized, never nothing. And I've never confronted them. And I will tell you, if I had a redo, I would have. Because it's not okay. But anyway, they called me. And, you know, my brain, a little speck in my brain's thinking, are you kidding me? You, of all people, are calling me, of all people, to asking me for help and saying how much that, what's wrong with you? That was a little box. Guess what turned on? This love that I have access to that is so far, I was shocked. I don't think that I knew what was being said, that Jesus just was there and took over. I shared the gospel with that person. I told them, yes, this is going to hurt you deeply, like, because I know. None of that came out of my mouth, none of it. And it shut off that part. It just became, help her, help her, help her. She's in tremendous pain. You know this pain. You know what she needs. She needs Jesus. And that's what I was able to tell her. And then I said, you know, another way that will help you get healed from this. I never said a word about myself, but she knew who she was talking to. I said, you know, if you would ask for forgiveness. And I'm asking her to ask me for forgiveness. She said, well, I've thought about that, but I didn't know if you would. I said, well, let's try it. Ask me. She said, would you? Now, I'm a little bit mean. I said, would I what? Well, I thought for healing, you need to say it. Yeah, I really do believe you need to. I said, what are you asking me to forgive you for? And she named out the betrayal. I know. And that had to be an adorable baby. There are no ugly babies, so it had to be an adorable baby. And she said, well, will you forgive me for? And she named it. I said, well, of course I do. I did a long time ago. Would I have let your children play with my children? Would we have done this? Would this have did that? She said, oh. I don't know if she came to Christ at that time or whatever, but I do believe that she has come into a relationship with Jesus. Ladies, wow. Just wow. And when that was over, she called me the next night to talk some more, and she called me the next night to talk some more. I got to tell her repeatedly about you're never going to get through this without Jesus. You're never going to get, and we built a little thing there that I guarantee you is not there. But isn't that amazing how Jesus, in his sovereignty, would have her call the last person on earth you would probably call to be helped with that? Just blows my mind. It still blows my mind. I want to work with you a few minutes about some tools that you can use on this horizontal, the difficulties of the horizontal. And we have to go to my little suitcase of analogies for this one. This is kind of a special, it's just because they're fancily wrapped. This is a tea bag. There's a tea bag in here. And have a bunch of fun ones. This came in a little set that somebody gave me. And the flavors I have, just kind of wild mint green tea. I don't care what word you put on green, it's still green tea. And then what is this? This is it, wild mint green tea right here. Breakfast black tea, boring, even though I like that. Apple crisp herbal tea, classic green tea. There it is, they try it again. Classic green tea, boring again. Cranberry herbal, Earl Grey, spiced chai, coconut bliss, woohoo. It doesn't say woohoo on the package, I wrote that. Coconut bliss. I mean, doesn't that sound like, sounds gross to me, I don't like coconut. tropical passion, green tea. See, it's still green. It's like, no, it doesn't work for me. And then my favorite, I guess, I've not tried any of these, limoncello chamomile. I don't drink tea I can't pronounce, so I'm not even sure if I pronounced that right. But I just, you know, just for fun, I like to share. So, sorry, there are not 220 of these. Whoa, they're going to fall off. Okay, really? Just distribute these among yourselves. And let me hand you two more. And be sure to get the girls, you know, that are elsewhere. Thank you very much. I want to know who got that woohoo tropical passion. Who gets that one? No, just kidding. Well, anyway, I'm going to tell you a story. I said I was going to read you something from a journal. This is another journal entry that just Jesus entered in my journal in late December. So this one's fairly fresh. Here we go. You have most likely been given the privilege, and I wrote it as though I was writing to people. This is exactly how I wrote it in my journal. God was preparing for this conference. I had no idea this would be for the conference. Okay. You have most likely been given the privilege of knowing about Jesus in some capacity over the years. You were probably taught children's Bible stories like Noah's Ark, Jonah and the Big Fish, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and about Jesus' incredible healing miracles. You came to know these stories as more than just stories. They taught you about the power and love of a Savior, our King. You hopefully grew in that knowledge and began to realize the necessity and the beauty of storing His love, His grace, His strength, His power, and redeeming joy in your hearts in a very personal way. How much have you taken in? How much have you stored away in the different rooms and memories of your heart? If it was all collected in a file folder, how thick would that file folder be? Have you ever stopped to think about the power, the strength, and the hope, the knowledge, the peace, and the joy, and the abilities that you've been given for storage and use? Through all the sermons, the Bible reading, the worship music, the Bible studies, the seminars, the conferences, the books, the testimonies, and the talks with Christian friends, you are a living, breathing warrior, a storehouse of weaponry, fully covered in armor. Just think about this. When you are slammed with life circumstances that are so painful, horribly surprising, seemingly destructive, heartbreaking, even crushing, remember that you have all of that God business all stockpiled in you, and it's ready. It wraps itself around your circumstances, and it turns it into something good and beautiful, like what happens with a bag of tea. That little bag contains an aromatic collection of pieces of little different herbs and whatever else is in tea bags, or sawdust or something, I don't know, that that are just hanging out in there, in that little bag. And it's pretty quiet in there, not doing a whole lot, until, wait for it, the seemingly evil destruction of boiling water pours over this little bag. Is it destroyed? No. Is that tea bag with its contents ready? You bet it is. That tea permeates the seemingly overpowering destruction, that which could be like disfiguringly painful. Boiling water will disfigure you. In fact, that was amazing that boiling water was mentioned in that testimony this morning. Look how God wove these stories. I had no idea she's going to say that. She had no idea about this. And it hits that tea bag and it turns it into something actually good. It's like all that truth is stored up in you. The next time the ugly powers of darkness bump into the light inside you, that light will permeate that darkness. Darkness cannot cut through light. The light of Christ in you will meet that darkness right at the threshold of its worst intention and wrap itself around it and turn it all into the strength and beauty that God has already ordained. Who ever thought a tea bag could illustrate all that? Yes, tea bags steep in just minutes and their work is done. The light of God's truth in you permeates and conquers the desires of evil over and over again in a much slower, strength-building, beautiful manner. It is such a comfort to know that the truth in me makes me ready at all times. Jesus is enough. He is enough in me and He is enough in you. He will wrap Himself around anything that tries to bring you down. When evil comes into contact with the Christ that lives in you, it doesn't stand a chance. And it never will. Christ, strength, and victory are non-negotiable. Remember, it is finished. The next time you pour boiling water over a little tea bag, watch what happens. The tea permeates what is so often destructive, and it makes something beautiful. Now, will y'all ever drink tea the same again? No, I think not. Here's one more. Who needs one? Who doesn't get one over here? Here, you ready? I don't know who's going to get this. Guard your eyeballs. Oh, Sarah, my daughter got it. Okay. Sarah. Fun. Okay. Well, there's my little... Now, that's a different kind of journaling, was it not? A little different than the possum story. Okay. Well, that's how... When I was in that wreck I told you about last night, hanging upside down on that car, blood dripping out of the mouth, and thinking it's going to explode, that wreck hit my tea bag. It hit the file folder of all the beautiful Jesus that had been stored up in there. I didn't just suddenly go, let me get spiritual here and stay calm. It just automatically happened. It just automatically happened. Now, I have another little story I want to tell you. This is not a journal entry. This is something, for whatever reason, I thought of. I trust this to be Jesus. He sent me the cross, and He sent me this story about Aunt Roxy. You probably didn't know I had an Aunt Roxy, Sarah. Yeah, in fact, Aunt Roxy, I probably met her twice in my life. And the story I'm going to tell you, I think she's one of my grandfather's sisters. She had like 500 siblings or something, you know, a bunch of kids. I know there really were 11 of them. And I think Aunt Roxy was one of his sisters. Anyway, I was about 10 years old, 1964 is when this story takes place. And by the way, this is a story I've been told. I wasn't there. And I believe Aunt Roxy was about level 64 or 65 when this happened to her. She lived in a little town, sort of like Mayberry, but it's called Cookeville, Tennessee. Maybe some of you know where Cookeville. Oh, look at y'all. Anyway, I remember being there a time or two back then. I don't have no idea what it's like now. It was like a Mayberry town. It was like four or five streets, and you know, the Baptist church is on one end, the Methodist church is on the other. They didn't pay attention to anybody else. And everybody made pies, you know. Then they had the big porches on their little white houses, and they lived close together. Everybody's friends, and you don't drive your cars in Cookeville because it's a little bitty town. You just walk to downtown, which is that street over there. And it had a little grocery store, a little five and dime, a barber shop. I don't know if they had a hair bender for women, but I bet they did. And so the story goes that Aunt Roxy is walking downtown. And she's walking downtown, and you carried a basket. I remember seeing a basket by their door that was your go-to-town basket, and you put whatever you're going to get in it, and you come back home. Okay, so Aunt Roxy's walking downtown with her basket. Well, suddenly her underwear falls off. I mean, completely down to the Mother Earth. And the way I heard it told was, somebody said, "Well, Roxy, what'd you do?" She said, "Well, I just high-stepped right out of it and kept right on going." I just love that. I love that. That's what we call being ready. You know, she didn't plan that. But she just had some mojo. She had some gumption. She had some stuff in her that just made her deal with the circumstance right on the spot. And then I can also hear her saying, "And I never look back." Why would you? Why would you? You know, what? So I just love that about Aunt Roxy. Now, see, y'all are going to remember that, but here's the point. There's actually a point to this. Something else, you know, I really did not get to know Aunt Roxy well, but that sure made me want to talk to her a little more. I thought that was so cool. And I decided something. I just made this up. I bet you Aunt Roxy didn't care what anybody thought about her. I don't know. There's something about that story. That's the only story I have about Aunt Roxy. And if I get to change my name, I'm changing it from Robbie to Roxy. I like that. R-O-X-Y. I think that is just really cool. But anyway, I like that. I got a feeling Aunt Roxy didn't let anybody give her a scorecard. I think if you can go downtown, your underwear falls off, and you step out of it and keep going. I mean, hey, she had it. So, which leads me to a drawing. I'm not drawing any underwear. It's on your sheet. It's the first. Now, I will not redraw because you've got a sheet here. It's drawing number one on your sheet. By the way, my favorite drawing, not art. I mean, I wrote a book, and it's called From God to the Whiteboard, and there's a bunch of drawings in it. This is my favorite drawing in the book. This is also my favorite counseling drawing. And I'm probably going to forget to say this, so I'll say it now. I don't want to put it here, but I'm scared I'll forget. I brought some books. If anybody wants to purchase one later, come find me. I think Heather said a welcome center would be the place to do that. Cash, check. Did we work out the square? We'll work out the square. Cards. Okay. I ordered one, but it didn't come yet. I was going to be ready for that, but it didn't come. So let's talk about this drawing. Remember, I just mentioned no scorecard. Here's the deal. There's There's the Jesus on Calvary. That's what that represents. And you, amongst the 7 billion people who are on earth right now, but who knows how many have come before us, I've got you circled there on the line of humanity. And look how from the cross, Jesus says to you, your identity, you are fully loved, fully accepted, fully forgiven, and fully approved of. And by the way, that's non-negotiable. Don't y'all forget that. That's non-negotiable. Y'all read your letters last night? Okay, good. You're welcome. Here's the problem. And I'll use Romans 1:25 as an example. And they exchanged the truth of God. That would be the you in the picture. We exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things, other people, rather than God, who is to forever be praised. Now, that is not specifically what that verse in that context is talking about, but I like it, so I changed it. No, it worked. I think it works here. The deal is, look how we will look to others. What do you think of me? Is this good enough? That wrecked my day. I don't think they like me. Really? Don't let other people give you a scorecard. They don't have the right to do that. They don't have the power to do that. There's no authority in their score. And you don't give them one either. That's a two-way street. But if you are fully loved, fully accepted, fully forgiven, and fully approved of by the master of the universe, why do you need anybody else's vote? So don't take it. We're not having that. Remember, we're working about the horizontal today, because I know the horizontal will sling some stuff on you. It'll take you down if you let it. You know, nobody has the power to take you down. And if somebody were to shoot you in the head with a bullet, that was only, you know, God has your time set. That person just ushered with their action, but he brought you home. He ushered you into his presence. Nobody has that kind of power. No, but nothing and nobody. Nothing. So let me keep this handy because we're going to need it again. But I wanted to tell you about no scorecard. And where I got the words no scorecard, when I was a little girl, I watched ABC Wide World of Sports on my black and white TV with my dad on Saturdays. Don't remember where mom, brother, or sister were, but I loved doing that after our chores on Saturday afternoon. We watched these skiers. I just remember the same event over and over and over every Saturday. Swish! And those guys, and then they would go off the end of that thing that I don't ski. And they'd be up in the air, and they'd be over their skis, and their skis are up in their face, they're up like this, and then they'd land, and they'd rooster tail the snow. Well, they didn't have electronics for scores back then, so the judges are at a table with these big stacks of cardboard and big fat markers, and they write the scores, and they hold them up like this. And then somebody must have been fast and tallied them, and then they held up the final card, which was the average. Yay for electronics. My dad turned to me one Saturday. He said, "Rob, don't ever let anybody give you a scorecard unless you're in the Olympics." I got it, Daddy. I got it. And that is where that came from when I was probably 10 or 11. What great years. Aunt Roxy's underwear falls off when I'm 10, and Daddy said, "Those are great years. Those are great years." Now I'm looking for a picture of the daughter of the king. We're going to just go ahead and throw that up there. This is why you don't ever let anybody give you a scorecard, because you're a daughter of the king. He says what you are. He says who you are. He's got plans and purpose for you. You don't go around letting other people define you or any circumstance, because you're a daughter of the king. Now, that photograph I handed out last year, if you were here last year, you got a copy of that. Good, good. This year's photograph was empty tomb. All right, so let's get down to some practical things, and I call them, well, I didn't make this up, boundaries. This is one of the great tools for handling the horizontal. Please do not separate the vertical from the horizontal. You must have your stuff together with Jesus, like knowing you're a daughter of the king, to be able to handle the stuff that goes this way, the horizontal. But here are some talk about boundaries. You need to know, you need to have your list in your life of non-negotiables, what you will put up with and what you will not. And I wish I could spend an hour on that with every one of you individually. Because people will say, "Well, so-and-so happened to me." And I go, "Was that okay with you?" "No." "What'd you do?" And they go, "I just stood there." Apparently it was okay. I'm not very nice when people... No, I'm nice, but I'm pretty direct with people. "What now? What was your payoff for standing there taking that?" "Well, I didn't want to hurt their feeling." While they're steamrolling you, you could have said, "Nobody talks to me that way. I'm a daughter of the king." "Well, they would have laughed at me." Who cares about their scorecard? See how it all comes back to the same thing? Let's talk about some boundaries for a minute. And I want you to remember that what you will put up with and what you will not. And if you're not clear, you need to start thinking about that. "I'm not having that. I'm not having any more of that." Maybe you don't know till after it happens to you. You go, "That ain't going to happen again." But there's a way, a Christ-like way, to handle these things. There's one thing I had to decide, even that was pre-decided, and there was nothing I could do about it. One of my clients, who had finished with her, 16-year-old girl, twice my weight. I almost said she was twice my size, but she would have been 10'4". So no, she was much more to her than there is to me. But I think our session's over. It went pretty well. I noticed she was a little off that day, but okay. She leaves. Next client comes in. About 4 minutes into this next session, I had just finished praying and listening to what was going on with this lady. That door slams open. She comes in and jerks me out of my chair, and we are wrestling. It was awful. And my heart just speeding up even thinking about it. I mean, she wasn't punching me. She just had me. I mean, she had me, and I couldn't. You love these stories, don't you? She had me, and I couldn't get loose from her. And I thought, "I'm going to have to punch or something. I got to get her attention." So I gave her a few. I didn't know what else to do. And I was trained, but I wasn't trained in once they had you down. I was before they got you down. and she's bigger than me. So I kind of get, and she's screaming that they're going to kill her, they're going to kill her. So I'm assuming we're having auditory hallucinations going on. This was ugly. And bless her heart. So, but that wasn't helping me any. But, you know, and I have a phone for emergencies right by my desk. My chair that I counsel, I have a phone on my desk and a phone, emergency phone. Well, I couldn't. I was on the floor. I didn't plan for that. So finally, I'm able to, she's going, I mean, this is crazy. We are, and that client's just sitting there watching the whole thing. Which is okay. You know, she's probably very wise not to get involved. It's one of her boundaries. When your client, your counselor's wrestling another client, do not get involved. That's a good boundaries. We're just, it was just crazy. But I finally get part of myself away from her and swoosh my phone out of by my chair, and I dial 911 and I tell them the address, a counselor getting attacked by a client, please come. And they said, please stay on the line. Heck, I can't, but that's okay. I knew, and it was no time before the sirens. I heard them coming. Well, I get her out into the waiting room, and my goal was to get her out into the lobby of my building because I knew people were returning from lunch and somebody was going to rescue me. Somebody was going to pull this girl off of me. Wrong. It was 1:10 now. Four people entered my building and walked by going, looking at us like, would you look at that, wrestling in the lobby. What? Thank you. But nobody, I don't know. That just kind of blows my mind. There was no bloodshed. Maybe they, I don't know. They just got on the elevator and went on. So here it comes. And I start to have this idea. I realize nobody's getting injured here. This is just a ridiculous waller around in the floor wrestling match. And something in my head starts going, this is fake. She's not really, this is not, okay, wait a minute. Then I really wanted to bust her, but we can't do that. I wanted to do all kinds of things to her. I thought, wait a minute. Here's how, okay, three fire trucks, this is embarrassing. Three fire trucks roll up, four police cars and one ambulance. Whoa, 911 got into action. Those good-looking firemen, why are they all so good-looking? But they just come in, oh, bodybuilders come in. She immediately pushed off of me and went back against the wall and crossed her legs and went, hi. I'm like, okay, all right. And so when the police took the report, I said, I want her in a psychiatric unit this afternoon. Of course, I knew it was fake, but that might teach you how to behave yourself. I'm not putting up with that. There are some things I'll put up with and some things I will not. And I called her family and put it in writing because you are no longer welcome on the premises. That is above my pay grade. I don't much care for it either. We're not doing that. Her mother did not take her to the hospital. She went right home and she was back in school that afternoon. Ladies, that is a really goofy example of what you put up with and what you not. But make up your mind on some things. Some of you are living in some stuff. And you are not putting appropriate boundaries in place. And I don't really understand why. There's something blocking you. Maybe you don't understand your worth, your value. Maybe you don't think you're worth it. I don't know. But if you need to put it in writing and sign a contract with yourself, I will no longer put up with this. I want to talk about some specific boundaries. If you want to read about boundaries, there's an excellent book called Boundaries by two guys named Cloud and Townsend. It is remarkable. It's been one of my top counseling books for 20 years. Cloud and Townsend, Dr. Cloud and Dr. Townsend. One of them wrote this story. I don't remember which one this happened to. Boundary story. One of their daughters was a high school graduate, had the friends over for a pool party for the high school graduation party, and they're just having the best time. The kids' cars are parked in the driveway and out in front of the house. Drunk neighbor comes over during the party and says, somebody parked in front of my house. I don't let people park in front of my house. And whichever guy this was, Cloud or Townsend, said, I'll just make up a name. Fred, I don't talk to drunk people. That is a personal boundary of mine. Now, I'm not telling you can't drink. I can't do your boundaries, but I can do mine. I don't talk to drunk people, so we're not talking about this right now. Go home. I just love that. I'm not telling you what your boundaries are, but I know mine. That is one awesome way to deal with the horizontal. And if you don't know what to do about something at the moment, say, you know what? I'm not sure what to do right now, but that's not okay. I'll get back to you. Just don't put up with that which you know you're not supposed to put up with. Another one that sadly comes into my office way too often is where, and it's husbands and wives. I'm sorry to say it's mostly wives. Well, I'm sorry to say it's anybody, but mostly wives that come in and tell me about the verbal, emotional, and sometimes physical abuse that they've been under for a long time. And they'll tell me stories like, for 23 years. And I went, why has that been okay for 23 years? Well, I haven't liked it. What have you done about it? Nothing. Whew. So I said, listen here, let's think about this. Now, there's different categories. I realize there's some cases you don't speak up and say what I'm about to say because it is dangerous. Well, good grief, you don't be there if it's dangerous. Safety's number one. You don't even be there to see if you're going to get hurt. It bothers me that people will stay in that environment just to see if that other arm's going to get broken. But this is the verbal abuse stuff. You can say, when it starts, I do not receive your words. They are not true, especially the name calling. You're lazy, you're stupid, you're... No, your identity, remember that? Daughter of the King, those are not your titles. You say, that is not true. That is not who I am. I do not allow myself to be spoken to in that manner. I will be in the other room. And when you want to speak to me with respect, you come in there and talk to me correctly because I really would like to have a conversation with you, but not like that. That's a verbal... emotional abuse type thing. Now, that doesn't mean that's going to work, but look who it stood up for. That's a signal, nuh-uh. And if that continues, that I often hear that, but they follow me around. They follow me around. They won't quit. We'll leave. We'll just for a little while leave. And then you might need some additional next level help with these things, but at least let it be known, I will not put up with that. I'm not having it. There's another, in the back of a book written by James Dobson, Love Must Be Tough. Man, I love this book. This is an oldies too. In the back of this book, he puts this, and this is from memory. I'm probably not saying this exactly right. I haven't looked in this book in years, but he's talking about a situation where someone's in the home that's just wrecking the home, and it's gone on for years and years and years, and it just, I can't take this anymore. Well, good, don't take it anymore. You can say to this person, listen, in this house, we live like this. If you decide to do that, you're going to have to go elsewhere. Now, that doesn't mean you'll automatically have this great ability and power to get them out. But sometimes this actually does work. You have to do that elsewhere. We don't do that here. When you decide to calm down and change and be different, you are welcome back here. But as long as that continues, not here. Now, you may have to get some help with that. Sometimes it's just bigger than just saying that. I don't expect that to just turn everything magic. The younger version of that is these little fit throwers, these little criminals that are in our houses. They don't usually perform without an audience. And some of them will. I mean, they'll just go ahead, but let them do it without an audience. Here's what I suggest you do with those little people that do the fit throwing. First of all, if you allow it, shame on you. There's two problems in the room when that goes on. And there's no reason for their junk to splash on other members of the family. I just don't believe in that. So you say to these little criminals, because we're all criminals, all right. If you're choosing to act like that, you're going to have to go be alone and do it all by yourself. You need to go to your fit-throwing place and give them a spot. Now, the family that I most recently did this with, I gave them some fit-throwing idea places, and one of them was, I said, tell me about your house a little bit, and they told me, and they described that their kitchen door steps out onto a little landing in the garage, and steps go down to the garage. I said, what is out there? They said, it's safe. How old is he? 3. All right. Got any tools and things laying around he could hurt himself with? No. No, no. So guess where Joshua sits now to throw his fits? Out in the garage, top landing. When you're done, knock on the door and we'll let you back in. And that works. He only did it twice. He couldn't believe it. And his daddy, this is so cute, his daddy had rigged a video camera to see how he responded while he was out there. And he sat on the top going, nyeh! Or that noise that they make. And he'd turn and look to see if they were coming out. And nothing happened. So he did it louder. And he'd stop. And he'd turn it. This is on the video. It's awesome. No audience, no fun. So I'm not saying that works in every case, but that works sometimes. Somebody gave my daughter a great idea about a 2-year-old in her home that can cause a scene at times. And she said, get a pack and play, not her bed, get a pack and play. Say, okay, no, and put her in there. I mean, you just go, it's like her fit throwing place. I'm not having that. And it's just brilliant. Guys, don't put up with stuff you shouldn't be putting up with. And it enables the person to continue. They're getting what they want, and what they're wanting is not right. If somebody lies, another boundary, if somebody lies about you and gossips and so forth, it gets back to you, you can just let it go, which you can. Sometimes you might need to confront it. And you can go to them respectfully and confront them and let them know that you have become aware that they're sharing these rumors, this gossip, these lies about you, or things that aren't accurate, whatever you want to call it. There's no need to say, so-and-so told me that you said, don't you get on the gossip train. It's come to my attention that, who told you that? I'm not going to use names. And you just say, now listen, if you're going to talk about me, and I don't know why I'm all that special to you, thank you very much, but if you're going to talk about me, make sure you're telling the truth. And here's the truth. Or, I don't know why you want to talk about me, but if you do, here's the truth. Wait a minute, it's none of your business. I don't need to tell you anything else about it, but I'd love it if you would stop that. And then go, don't walk away from that. And by the way, I forgive you. I know it's easy to get caught in that. I don't want this to break our relationship. Let's move forward like this never happened. So try to bring restoration to that too, because that can be a big chasm business. And speaking of chasms, sometimes you do need to break relationships. You just do. That's another talk. But sometimes it's just healthy enough to cease a relationship. Here's another relationship I know you need to work on, and that's your relationship with yourself. What's your self-talk like? I'm a loser. I'm fat. I'm not smart. They look better than me. They don't have any friends. Don't talk about yourself like that. That's not your identity. You're a daughter of the king. How would a daughter of the king talk about herself? Is she still dancing? Yeah. What would she say? She looks like, I like it. It's good. I got my dress on. The light of the Savior is coming on over me. She even has a little humility. Her head's cast slightly down. That's not shame. That's just in knowing who she is and who Jesus is. And just as much, I could have painted her face looking up, but that's not the way my picture went, so that would have been a train wreck. But your relationship with yourself, what would the daughter of a king think of herself? Let me show you one way to avoid. Oh, is this an eraser? How cool is that? Well, all right. So I want to do another picture that is not. Wait a minute. Yes, it is. Never mind. Sorry, cameraman. I'm not going to draw anything yet. I'll just erase a little bit of this and come back to it. Picture number two. I think that we often find ourselves in what I'll call the committee meeting. Y'all got no business in this committee meeting. You are not invited. Well, you are invited, but there's some invitations you need to turn down. This is an identity lie meeting. When you catch yourself thinking, I'm so stupid, I'm not smart, I blew that, nobody likes me, this stuff we say to ourselves, or you're caught up in comparisons. First of all, Satan is going, you are so stupid. And we switch it to first person, I. We take his language and turn it in on ourselves. It's like we've been to a committee meeting that's run by him, and you'll see a picture there. That's his big chair. And you look at the little chairs around the table, the attack, the comparisons, the approval lies. You must perform to a certain level to feel good about yourself or to have any worth. The idolatry, your shame, your self-worth, all lies. And you could draw many, many things around that table. And look, sadly, there's you in a little chair in that meeting. What are you doing in that meeting? Get out. You have no part there. Get out, get back to the cross, and remember your identity in Christ. Because that's the horizontal attacking you, and you have got to go get vertical. That's why you can never, never, never separate the two. We're going to have to go to another secret suitcase of analogies. Now, when I'm looking for that paper, somebody tell me I put it down there, because that's a scary business. All right, now this came from a gentleman came to visit my church a few years ago. Bless his heart, he walks up in a three-piece suit. We don't wear three-piece suits, and I thought, weirdo, three-piece suit. But, sorry, see how judgy, awful? And then it got a little bit worse. I noticed he had on open-toed sandals with white socks. Oh, dude. Ow. Okay. But anyway, and he said, and it made me love him, like Aunt Roxy. He went, if y'all think anything about my three-piece suit and my white socks and sandals, I don't care. That's how I like to dress. And I thought, good for you. That made me just love him right then. And then he pulled out something out of the back of his jacket, and I have to use suitcases for mine. And I remember thinking, that kind of looks like the inside tube of a roll of paper towels. I couldn't wait for him to tell me what it really was. He said, some of you may think this is the inside tube of a roll of paper towels. He said, that is correct. And you will never look at it the same. He said, I want to teach you something. And he went like this. He said, now, for this illustration, I am God. I am God. This is Jesus. And you are you. He said, your part's real easy. You should have no trouble playing your part. You are you. I'm God. This is Jesus. And he went like this. He went, oh, clean. You look just like Jesus. There's a lot of Jesuses look just like Jesus. Redeemed, no record, saved, forgiven. It's all erased. No account. He did that. And I go to a big church and he did the balcony. He just said Jesus words one after another, looking over here and goes, redeemed. You look just like Jesus. No sin, no record. He just did that over and over. I mean, what a great illustration. What a great illustration. And I just love that. That is just something I want you to remember. You all have one of these. Uh-huh. You can have these. And I think they are just wonderful. In fact, I couldn't resist. And my husband saw what I was doing, so, you know, I collected a few. Oh, my pass out lady. And I'd like for you to write a word. If you're going to get one of these, I'm sorry, of course, I didn't bring 230 of those. I want you to write two words. If you get one, if you keep it, I want you to write, oh, Jesus. And justified. You know what justified means? It's one of those big church words. Just as if I'd never sinned. Makes me glad to be Southern. I like how that sounds. I don't know how that sounds from New Jersey. But in the South, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Okay? Now, this is for you regular sinners, the people you need to look at. And for those of you that have little sinners at home. Who has little sinners? You got one? Okay. Now, I'm bringing you, Sarah, my daughter has two little sinners at home. You can go with that. Now, let me, got a few more. Oh, I have all little sinners left. Who has, no, I'm just kidding, you know I'm just kidding, like they need a little bit of Jesus? No, they need a lot of Jesus. Okay? Let's see if these will flip. Woo, got you. Here they come. Here goes another. Oh, good one, and here's one more. Now, wait, we're not done. For those of you who have, what, was that your hand up? This is for the families with the big sinners. They need big Jesus. I felt it coming over here. I don't know. You might want to pass it back. And you know, that's from Christmas wrapping paper. Those are just awesome. And it was so cool that we had Christmas near the time that I thought of this illustration. So I could get those big ones like that. Wait, wasn't there one more Jesus laying over here? Oh, sort of medium. Okay, ready? Yay, good catch. Good catch. All right. Now that's a little bit of joke about little Jesus, big Jesus, medium Jesus. No. We all need the same amount of Jesus, okay? But that's just fun. And two ways. Look at how you look at others through that tube, too. Uh-oh. Another little twist on that. Okay, I think I remembered where my paper was. We're going to look right here about the approach to the cross. You can see, this is where my art just gets like, okay, I'm sorry. Picture number 3. And by the way, number 4 is blank in case you wanted to draw in something that I put up here on the board. This is not in my book. This is the only one that I'm doing up here that is not in the book because I thought of this recently. And I just call it is finished. Now see, there's a couple of ways to approach the cross, actually 3 ways, not at all. Or to lean on the cross, but still looking out at the things of the world while you're sort of in Jesus, sort of out in the world. In Jesus, out in the world. And that's demonstrated by my little leaning girl here. She's leaning, but she's still seeing the temptations of the world. They're being pulled. Her interest is being pulled in that direction, which is very common. That might be a good one to put, the battle with idolatry. I am a believer, but, and things are pulling on me. Now, my next little girl, I'd have to tell you something. One day I had this drawn in the office, but I had not drawn the cross part of the, and they said, are you doing pole dancing in here? No. I was so embarrassed. I said, no, wait. Then I fixed it. I said, no, this is about clinging to the cross. And their face turned red. I said, that's okay. I know what that looked like. Now, this next girl, she has turned to the cross, and she's got her arms, I didn't draw her arms long enough, but her legs, she's wrapped around it. Like, I better cling to this thing. And when you cling to the cross, it comes with the beauty of so much treasure. I mean, there's more than just, like, if there really was a cross, like this had a little chair on the side, and you sat and, well, let me give you some Because knowing the truths of Jesus Christ are amazing. I wrote Romans 8:1 on your paper. Listen to this one. You know this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Whoa. No condemnation. I told you that white card represents that. It's clean. It's done. It's paid for. It's forgiven. And I mean non-negotiable, and I don't mean you can get it dirty again. Ladies, he said it's finished. He didn't mean it was only finished for 2,000 years ago, and we are all post-crucifixion resurrection. You read John chapter 17 to see if he was still talking about you. You'll see where he prayed for the disciples, and he prayed for those who are yet to come. I'm on that list. A lot of you are too. I hope all of you are. Look, Romans 8, 38 and 39. This verse is a little bit longer, so I had to stick it in my book. Another one of those beautiful truths you get if you know what it teaches. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither their height nor their depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what can separate us from Jesus? Nothing. And I mean nothing means nothing. It covers anything you could ever think of. Nothing. And then there's another verse I did not put on here that I wish I had, but of course I thought of it after I ran the copies. I love this one. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Wow. But when you are tempted, not if you are tempted, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So I will not ever take anybody's excuse of, I couldn't help it. Nope. I'm sorry. No, I couldn't help it. When he's there to provide you, that wasn't a maybe. That was a promise. He will provide you a way out so that you can stand up under it, whatever it is. There's no excuses. Come to that cross. Cling to it. Let him change your life to get you free. All right, one last little thing. Two little things. Perfect timing. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's going to work out. One thing I want you to remember, this is not on your sheet. I'm scared I'm going to knock this board down. It's out of habit at my office. I always have my arm holding my whiteboard too, just in case. All right, so here we go. This, I call this two cups. Wouldn't it be fun to watch a real artist at work? Oh, well, thank you for putting up with this. Okay, notice a little difference here. The Jesus cup is solid. There's no holes in it. The earth cup's got a problem. Well, that's because we have a problem with earth and relying on earth and putting our hope there. Let's just do four quickies. Let's say we rely on our money. That can change in a flash. Let's say that we rely on relationships. I can also tell you by personal experience, that can crash and burn. Let's rely on our looks. Look at your speaker. That can crash and burn. And let's see, what else? Your education, your smarts. Let's just call it your smarts. Where does that get you, really? Nowhere. For a while, maybe, but after a while, we're all the same. And here's the deal. When you rely on any of these earth things, and we could list and list and list what a cool job you have, what a great car you drive, how awesome your house is, blah, 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 blah. It all leaks. Everything leaks. Nothing sustains. Nothing will fulfill. Don't ever be under the delusion that you are self-sufficient or that any of this is your sufficiency. It never, never, never works. There's one. One and only one. No leaks. On the rock, non-negotiable, immutable, Jesus, the rock of Jesus Christ. That is the only, only, only way. And that's why when you, let's say you, I don't know if y'all do the stock market, we don't. But if you do and it all crumbles on you, well, I got Jesus. What's that got to do with anything if I lose money? It's all his anyway, right? You didn't really lose anything. You may have to make some changes, but you still have all that you really need. You have Jesus. All right. We got to remember our ladies? Remember our yarn ladies? I just, had a second idea about the yarn ladies because I kind of bless their hearts. I threw them all over the stage and I thought, you know what? That is not what they needed. The yarn ladies need something else. So I think this is, I know what they need. And I hope you know what they need. Now, remember our first little gal? She's a loner. She's just doing her own thing, her own one little single strand. And I said, she seems kind of lonely. She's not allowing herself to be woven. I got an answer for her. Here, sweetie, this will do it. There. She couldn't be any place better. Now we have our girl that looked like she had it all together from, on the outside, but last night some of her innards started coming out. And to represent, she was a wreck on the inside. She looks like she's got it all together, and still today it hadn't stopped. She's still just falling apart, and that will continue until she finds her place, until she finds her place. We'll see what happens here. That's good. That's good. She needs that. She needs it all the way. That's her answer. She can be woven with the vertical and the horizontal truth, and that will do it for her. Then we have little Miss Tight Control, who just has to have it her way, and that's what she leans on. As long as things go her way, she's fine. She probably doesn't have very many friends. But, she thinks she has it all together, and I've told her, you don't. You just don't. You don't. Maybe now you do. Things are going to change for you now. And then we had our favorite. Last night when I was cramming her back in the suitcase, we were having a talk. just bless your heart. But I said, fear not. This is how she is. I've got an answer. I sort of just want to go. Oh, it's on the back. Wait. I want y'all to, okay. Oh, and now I'm getting hung up. Hang on just a second. She's like an octopus. I don't know. Okay. But see, you can come to the cross just like you are. You don't have to clean up. You don't have to come to order. You don't have to look good. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to try to earn your way to his acceptance or his approval. That's not even possible. He goes, come just like you are. Come just like you are. Here's our little worn out girl. Oh, she's just pooped. Let me get her up here. This is going to re-energize. This is going to take care of her. Okay. See how handy crosses with hooks can be? Do you know how many clothes you could hang on one of these in your bedroom? No. And then we have, this is the gal that put herself in the hands of the master weaver. Pretend that wasn't me. But that doesn't do it all. She's not like finished. She's got some other work that needs to be done. So I thought with her, I wonder if I ought to do this. Okay, I did it. I think she ought to come and just wrap herself around and stay close. She needs him. So I think, okay, can I get back up there? All right. So she can stay close, and I just think she ought to wrap herself around that cross at all times. Here's the deal. Jesus said, it is finished. It's finished for these girls. And I have something for you. I believe that, and I forgot how we're doing this. They're going to be passed out pretty soon. I have a little, I had suitcases of analogies. For each of you, I have made a baggie of analogies. And in the baggie, here's what yours will look like. There are three things in this baggie, and they're going to start coming to you now. All of you have blue yarn. There's a little piece of blue yarn just to represent. Come just like you are, but you need to be woven with Jesus Christ. Don't be a loner. Don't be any of these other things. You also have a tea bag in your bag to remember that all that truth, all that hope, all that power is in you. And when the darkness bumps into it, that truth will come and penetrate the darkness. And then you have a hook, a little white hook. There's no longer a hook with your name on it. It's finished. You're taking that hook home, and this hook is white instead of the nickel color that was on there. I bought white ones for redeemed, clean. Okay? And I'd like for you to put your little white cards, if you want to make a set of analogies, put your little white cards in your baggies too, just kind of complete it. But that's your take home. Remember, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. And let the truth of all that means just wrap you up. It is finished. And that means that I am finished. All right. Thanks so much.